Hey, good day, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Kenny Hodge, and boy, do I have a special treat for you today. Normally, all you hear is my voice on the show, but today we're going to open the microphone up to a maintenance employee from Columbus, Ohio, and we're going to talk about some of the disparity in treatment, some of the poor management, just some dumb shit that postal maintenance management prides themselves on doing. Now, before I introduce my guest for today, let me say this. Some of the stuff that I see and hear maintenance management doing, it's just so convoluted that before I put this show together, I took the liberty of contacting Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus just to ascertain, had any of the clowns escaped from the circus? I'm pretty sure I know where you can find them, but that wasn't the case. All their clowns were accounted for, so I guess we'll have to go on moving forward, understanding this is maintenance supervision. Hey, welcome everyone. Joining me today, I've got a Columbus, Ohio City Gate maintenance employee. We're going to leave the names out for right now. But she's here to express to you some of the frustration that she, as well as other maintenance employees, are dealing with on a regular basis behind that inept postal management contingency known as postal maintenance management. Hey, good day. How are you doing today?
Great.
All right, listen. First, I want you to know that I've received comments all week. I've got notes all week of questions to ask you. So let's relax and let's talk about why we want to do a podcast on postal maintenance management.
We're doing this podcast because I feel there's nowhere else to turn.
Okay, all right.
And that maybe somewhere somebody will hear something and maybe take action.
Well, when you say there's nowhere else to turn, what is your current position in the post office?
I am a building maintenance mechanic.
Building maintenance mechanic. That would be a level 7, correct?
Nine.
Level 9. Okay. So just to bring my listeners up to speed, if you're not in the maintenance craft, maintenance pretty much goes level 4 custodians, level 7 maintenance mechanics, level 9 mechanics. BEMs are 9 also, correct?
I'm a 9, yeah.
Okay.
You're
a BEM now?
Well, that's a building maintenance mechanic.
Okay. BEM. It's so funny because I thought they did away with all the BEMs.
They're trying.
See, I'm setting up the interview, but I didn't realize that you were a BEM, which, before we start, gives me more understanding of why you may be a little frustrated. Because this is what I see, and help straighten this out for me. I thought the post office decided they don't need BEMs anymore. I noticed that we had a bunch of 22, they all seemed to go away. In fact, I don't even know if we have any BEMs on tour 2. Do we? Do you know?
We do have BEMs on days. There's 4.
Okay. There's 4 BEMs on tour 2 right now.
We're down to 1.
Okay.
1 BEM transferred to Texas.
Okay.
The other 2 are medical.
Okay, so we've got 1 BEM in that building. And let me say this too. For my podcast audience, explain to me, what is a BEM?
A BEM is a building equipment mechanic, and we do everything that's attached to the building. Heating, air, plumbing, electric, anchoring equipment to the floor, to the walls.
Now, that's funny that you said there's only 1, because every day I see a group of about 4 people under the supervisors. I won't even use any real names on this show today. So let's just say the supervisor's name is Pam Hollis. We'll just make up a name. So while we're talking about Pam Hollis, when you tell me there's only 1 BEM, now I see Pam has always got a group of 3 to 4 individuals doing rails, equipment. So when you say there's only one BEM, what are these folks? They're not BEMs because they're doing BEM work all day.
They're level 7 mechanics doing the BEM job.
Now how does a level 7 mechanic, would that be a higher level detail for that group?
They should be getting paid higher level if they do the work, but they also should be working with a BEM to do the work.
That would require management to do this thing called manage, which they really hate to do. So I understand why they won't make the necessary move to bring BEMs into it too. But let me just ask you a question. Is the policy of level 7 doing BEM work, which is level 9, is that just in Columbus, or is that all over, do you know?
I can only speak for our office, but I do know that some offices, they want to like cross MPEs and BEMs.
Okay.
You know, which are machine maintenance.
Right.
You know, you could be a level 9 BEM or a level 9 MPE.
Okay, level 9 MPE, both level 9s. If the level 9s now do, well, now you being a BEM on tour
one,
and all of this BEM work is being done on tour 2, I would think being a former manager, union rep, union president, I would think that that should be a very lucrative move for you, meaning if they're doing your work every day, then you should be filing grievances on those work hours, and they should be equally divided amongst all the BEMs that are still left there, if level 7s are doing the work of level 9 BEM. Is that happening?
I've tried to file grievances on the work being done by the level 7 mechanics, and my grievances get dropped at the step 2 process.
Now, when you say your grievances get dropped, if you mean you follow...
They go untimely.
They go untimely. Okay, so management or union is dropping the ball, and if they're untimely, that means management, and that means the union dropped the ball, because there's this funny thing going on with, not going on, there's always been going on with grievances, particularly step 2 and higher. If management is late, they can get a do-over. If management is late at step 2, at step 3, they can remand that grievance back to step 2 to be heard. If the union is late, then that's the end of this game. So if grievances are being dropped at step 2, I can only surmise that the union is dropping the ball on it. And that surprises me, because I'm very familiar with your president, Demenstein, and that expert staff he has at headquarters. So I'm going to have to say, if I were you, I would start at headquarters and let them work in reverse, and your problem will get resolved. And when they're violating your level, and without any kind of compensation to you, I would think that the APWU, who is responsible for contract compliance from mechanics, would be all over it. I would think they would be all over it. They're not?
No.
And again, I'm not an APWU member, but I do know if I got money on the table and the grievance can get it for me and my union won't file it, I would be just a little pissed off. So let's get back to Pam Hollis. Yeah, let's get back to Pam. So what is Pam doing that exacerbates your issue?
He looks for work to justify those mechanics on day shift.
So again, if I'm hearing this correctly, they got too many 7s on day shift that they can take 4 of them. If they can take 4 of them and dedicate them to do your job, that means they're overstaffed on 7s.
Yes, I say so.
And just to back that up, they may be overstaffed on 7s, but that's not what I hear from the automation supervisors, who has a little issue with machines being brought up on time and fixed and put back into play on time. So there is a dichotomy here that somebody from headquarters might want to take a look at. We've got level 7 scheduled to do BEM work all day. Your level 7s that are at work That overtime is not being maxed out. They're going 10 hours and being told you can't do penalty. So if you are on the other end of a delivery barcode sorter, this is just some of the reasons why your mail might be late. Because Columbus, Ohio, and Pam Hollis want to take the level 7s out of their job, put them in a level 9 position, which now means you got rid of, I'm from a national level, you got rid of BEMs, but Pam Hollis takes his 7s and makes them do BEM work while shortchanging the staff of 7. That's like robbing Peter to pay Peter. You don't make a lot of sense to me. Does that make sense to you that they would take 7s to do your work?
No.
And
go ahead, I'm sorry.
It makes sense that that this particular supervisor functions the way he does. We are down to 1 level 7 on tour 3, 4 level 7s on tour 1, 15 being on day shift.
It is normal on tour 2 that they should have a lot more mechanics on tour 2, because tour 2 is your shift that most of your maintenance should be done on, preparing the machines for tour 1 and tour 3.
These guys, almost on a daily basis, doing MPE work also, which is level 9, and BEM work.
You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. This is the podcast designed to be the voice of the employees. Let's get back to the show.
Do you not have enough work for them that is level 7 work?
Well, and again,
you know, they downsized the BEMs. They didn't take us totally away. Somewhere up above the means here, we had an MS-1 staffing. And through that MS-1 staffing, they said that we didn't need as many BEMs as we had. So through that, people have went to area maintenance, and so they are saying between two buildings, which is City Gate and Twin Rivers, that we are only needed 12 BEMs.
And is that how many we have now, 12?
We don't know.
Because if the MS-1 staffing said we only need 12, and every day you got 4 7s doing 9 level 9 BEM work, as with most of the postal staffing packages, it's just garbage and should be thrown out. Now, I happen to communicate with union officials out of maintenance, and getting a staffing package is almost like pulling a tooth from a toothless person. Hey, listen, why don't you take me through your career in the postal? How did you get to be a level 9?
Well, I was a level 3 custodian, and I went from a level 3 custodian at the time to a level 4 mechanic helper.
Okay.
From a mechanic helper, I went to a level 5 mechanic.
Okay.
So there were level 5 mechanics when we was at Twin Rivers. So when they built the new building at City Gate, that's when I decided to upgrade to become a BEM. And so I took tests and became a BEM at City Gate. And I don't know who or how, or the union agreed, or you know how it did, but they at that time made all of us, because I went from a 5 to a 7, they upgraded and made all BEM 7s BEM 9s, MPE 9, which were ET, electronic technicians,
right.
And then on 4, we have electronic technicians that are level 11.
After speaking with one of the level 10 mechanics, it also appears that they moved him, a level 10, and now they have 7 9s doing his work.
You've been in building site for quite some time.
Yes, 20 years.
Wow.
So if when you're in building side, even though there's a shortage of BEMs in CityGate, and you are a BEM, what do you do for most of your tour at work?
Well, right now, they have me in changing batteries in the battery room.
Wait a minute, hold on. You're short BEMs, you are a BEM, but you change batteries? Is that part of what BEMs do?
It's what we're doing now.
My thing is, if that's a building maintenance job, then why ain't building maintenance doing it on tour too? That's what I'm trying to get to. If you're BEM, I would think if they're short, that your whole day you're doing BEM work. And for them to waste the talents of a BEM
in the battery
room,
changing batteries.
That's kind of crazy.
Right, it is. So this has been a back and forth tug of war. You know, like, Tour 2 has never been in the battery as far as BEMs go.
Okay.
It's always on the off tours that they put the BEMs.
So on tour 1 and 3, BEMs may be in the battery room, but on tour 2, they're not going to happen.
Not on tour 2.
Now, do you have separate managers? Is there like one manager of maintenance? Or is it like a manager of maintenance for tour 1, tour 2, and tour 3? Everybody got their own manager so they can run separate programs?
They have managers for, all three tours.
They have managers, but there is
one head manager over all of them. But they also have a manager for tour 3 and tour 1.
Okay. So your one manager who's over all of maintenance in Columbus apparently has no concept of what running continuity inside of the section. It sounds like he may not know what he's doing. So rather than expose the fact that of maintenance management, he lets everybody do what they want, that allows them to say he didn't do it. Because if you've got BEMs on tour 1 and tour 3 in the battery room, I would think that that's where everybody should be.
Well, they have us in the battery room because they're short level 7 mechanics. Tour 3 has one level 7 mechanic. They will not hire level 7 mechanics. They either, when they transfer out, either to another tour or maybe completely out of the building into another state, they're not being replaced. And from what I've been told, they can't hire any right now. And I don't know why they can't. They couldn't answer why they can't. But this has been the way it has been for a minute. And when the MS-1 came out and they said that the BEMs were being cut, they abolished all of us, all of our jobs, because they were top-heavy on day shift at CityGate. They were top-heavy with weekends off, days off, so they had to bring and restructure that to fit what they needed.
Okay.
So with being 15 days, it would be hard to abolish everybody and come up with new bids, because from what I understand, you can't abolish a bid and then repost the same bid if you already said that this is not needed.
Exactly.
So.
And I understand also that part of not having enough sevens is people not passing the interviews, because there are a lot of, usually you go from 4 to 7, but I know there's a lot of 4s that are taking the test. They're not passing the interview, and I think that that may be intentional so that they don't have to hire. And again, you have the Postal Service creating their own shortage to give poor service to somebody, so that they can just sit back and put their hands up and say, we're short-staffed. When you talk about people going from level 7 to level 9, level 4 to level 7, there is a process in the testing that when they test. And that process is they receive information that prepares them for their interview. I know personally at least 3 people never got the information, but was never given the opportunity to retest. So again, I like to point this out so the public knows when the post office starts screaming that we're short, it's COVID. No, you're short because you can't manage. You're short because you won't do the right thing with test procedures. You're short because that's just what you do, United States Postal Service, and in this case, management. You create these shortages. by not giving your maintenance personnel.
Postal Headquarters Maintenance Department should be interested or be at least curious in knowing how is it so many people can pass the aptitude part of the test but not the interview, unless their guidance is just being followed.
And of course, what I'm saying is what I believe. This is just my belief. You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. The podcast that's designed to be the voice of the employee. If you want your voice heard, check out, you gotta check out the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Hey, listen, I got a comment that I am going to share with you coming from a different maintenance employee. And she says, Ken, why not explain to people that when you work higher level without getting paid, that don't make you bad. That means you're not enforcing the post office to be in compliance with your contract. If you are a level 7 doing level 9 work, then it's really not your choice whether you get paid higher level or not. Contractually, your steward should be filing those grievances regardless of what you think. And I put that on this show so that if you want to get mad at somebody, you can get mad at me. But your steward should be filing those grievances because, see, the steward's going to have a better understanding of if you keep doing that higher level work, it's going to hurt the craft eventually.
It takes away a position.
That's just what it does. And we have that same thing on the mailhead side, but that's a different podcast. So to those level 7 doing all that BDM work for Pam Hollis, I'm kidding out of that, because that's so should be the name. But you got to understand, do your 1723, document your higher level, get your higher level money, and most importantly, do not become upset at your steward because she filed or he filed that grievance
on behalf of the APWU.
And now you think that because the supervisor, because she got to pay you level 9 money, that is going to take away from your nice little situation that you have. Sometimes, folks, for the betterment of the craft, you know, we got to take a step back. And if you've got a supervisor giving you higher level jobs without paying you, but in return, you're allowed to go and come as you please, eventually that's going to get old. That's going to get old. And at some point, you got to practice some solidarity to say, listen, if I'm a level 7, I'll do your level 9 work, but you're going to pay me for it. If I'm a level 7 working on a DB, I'm going to do level 7 tasks. If you want me to do the level 9 task and higher, you are going to pay me for it. Let me say this to you, and this is just an example of how sharp the tools are in the postal maintenance management shed. They assign a mechanic to drive pit equipment throughout that building that has never been licensed to do so. Apparently, they let their manager know, but that didn't mean anything. So it was brought to my attention. Now you've got a maintenance mechanic
92 Yankee
driving pit equipment throughout the building without being licensed. And the only reason why I say without being licensed, that means he's never been trained to operate that equipment safely, but maintenance supervisor still gives that individual the responsibility to drive and repair this equipment. See, this is just some of the silly shit that takes place in maintenance, that if they had a real maintenance manager, but here you have a supervisor who can't schedule, who has no real clue of what's going on around him, but won't waste a second to charge an employee, leave without pay if you call in sick because you messed up.
If you use your FMLA, if you use your FMLA, he wants to take it away and bring in documentation. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to this.
See, again, more that maintenance buffoonery. I can't do my job. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I screw up your pay intentionally. And let me tell you something. When I began to ask questions about this supervisor, it was scary that everybody knows but yet he's still allowed to exist. He's still allowed to do unnecessary nonsense to postal employees, and none of his managers or none of the managers in the post office ever open their mouths about that. When you take employees' leave requests and just turn them into leave without pay so they have pay issues, you see, you're crossing the line. And that line has been crossed so many times in maintenance that until recently,
they were beginning to adjust to the idea that she could just take your leave and make you fight through a union to get it back.
How is the feeling amongst other mechanics about this group? Do they feel the same way you feel?
Yes.
If you had to do an opinion poll, would you find more than just you as a mechanic feels that this group that Pam allows to associate with her every day and do what they want, do they see what you see?
I would say yes.
Okay. Is there a conversation about that?
I've had a conversation with other mechanics that it does upset them because they are doing their work.
And let me say this to the group of folks that I don't fault you for taking advantage of a gravy situation. I don't fault you for
it. Right. It's not them. It's the supervisor that makes a uncomfortable environment.
Hey, listen, if you were in the crew, okay, you were part of the Pam Hollis personal entourage, what's some of the jobs that supervisor would assign you to do?
Well, I had privilege to see an EMAR sheet, and on that EMAR sheet, it said police shop rags.
And these are level 7 mechanics that instead of fixing or vacuuming machines, they're policing rags.
Or doing part of their job and washing battery acid off the top of batteries so it doesn't eat people's clothes.
Well, that they're not really doing, are they?
No, they don't do it.
But my thing is, I gotta say, if I could be a level 7. If I could be a level 7 and you give me a work order to police shop rag and then locate pit equipment or mopes, I don't know. I kind of understand why the 7s that are in this little comfortable zone, I understand why they don't want to put any light on it. I'm sorry. But I get it. As a union representative, it would be
very important to me that I explain to you that we're going to file grievances every time this occurs. It is no reflection on you. It is just a union trying to maintain solidarity and strength, making sure all higher level assignments are paid for. It helps us to increase the proper number or proper level of mechanics.
If you could talk to somebody about this, I mean, what would you do? How would you get this corrected?
I don't know how to correct it. That is a frustration. I don't know who to turn to because the management does know about it. Management turns their head. So when your maintenance management turns their head and allows a certain group to run amok, then where do you go? Plant manager?
Yeah. Hey, listen.
I would just say that it's amazing that what I see staying over on day shift, as far as what they're allowed to do continually on a daily basis with doing other crap.
And the inability of whoever the actual maintenance manager is, whoever that is, to look at what's going on around him or her and make decisions to make it better. They're in a job they shouldn't have. And rather than attempt to act like they know what's going on, it's better to just stay out of the way. Any advice you might want to share with postal management?
With doing other crafts work. Building, seeking out work for these people to do on a daily basis.
So it seems that Pam Hollis is more interested in keeping this little entourage doing.
And also, these people, they will not ask for higher level pay because of their they got a good thing going, and who wants to break up a good thing going? You know, they're overlooked, they get to do what they want, they get the days off they want, they get the overtime they want, they get road trips downtown, to Twin Rivers and deliver things.
Let me say, I understand that, and I understand why an employee would say
they pick things up, maybe not so much to deliver, but to pick things up.
I understand why an employee would say, you know what, shit, I ain't gonna say nothing about this, because again, Pam Hollis lets me do what I want. Yeah.
Pam Hollis will let them do things, but yet will harass another employee in his unit to the point of lawsuits, you know? So I'm just saying, you know, and how do you overlook one and then harass the mess out of it?
Because
my name is Kenny Hodge, and I thank my special guest for shining a little more light on maintenance. And again,
this is the Kenny Hodge podcast. This is the podcast that allows postal employees, again, to express themselves in a manner that other platforms won't allow. Again, we don't spread dirt on the show, but if there are issues that are genuine concerns to postal employees, sometimes when you get to voice it on this podcast, more people hear it. And not so much more people hear it, the right person hears it, because a lot of the situations we encourage and or encounter in the Postal Service, a lot of it postal management at higher levels are just not aware of. So we're going to make them aware.